Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Tonight's guest is Samer Wah. Hopefully I pronounced it right. And we're dialing.
Hello.
Hello, Samer.
Hey, Cheryl. How's it going?
Okay. How's it going for you?
It's going pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Good. So I take it you can hear me okay, right?
Yes, ma'am. And you too? And I'm sorry, that's my Texan in me. I apologize.
No, I just always make sure because that means that we're on the air if we can both hear each other. So.
Okay. Wonderful.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you after all these years.
I know, it's been a long time. We've known each other a long time now.
Yeah, it has been a really, really long time online. So,
right.
you have a very prominent social media presence, and people, like, flock to you because you've got this positive attitude about, you know, just about everything. I mean, of course you have your down days. Everybody does.
Right.
But the one thing that I really like are those little comical videos that you and your husband make. So tell us about how that all came about, how you even thought of making those.
Oh, gosh. Well, to be honest with you, I've been kind of doing stuff like that my entire life. I can remember the day my dad, and I'm getting a little old, so I remember the day my dad brought home a camera recorder when I was in high school, probably around middle school. But I started playing around with it a lot when I was in high school, and my friends and I would make little comical videos and things like that. But as I grew older, I didn't do that anymore. But after I was going through a lot of medical stuff and the online stuff, social media and things like that began to become quite popular, and it became a lot easier to record and edit software and edit your videos and stuff like that. I sort of slowly kind of got back into it, and I remembered how much I enjoyed it. And we're all of laughter in our family and in our home because I truly believe that it is the best medicine. And you just put a camera on me for a day, and I guarantee you, just my life is going to be funny. I don't have to make anything up. So, so we just kind of started doing that, and once, I guess, TikTok came along, it became really easy to do that sort of thing, and it's just something that I do whenever I have spare time and whenever I'm feeling up to it, and it's something I really, really enjoy, and our family and our friends enjoy doing. It's kind of like a pastime as well, as it is, you know, to be kind of entertaining.
Yeah, and one of the things I like, of course, is, well, because it's funny, and only because it's not real, is the
right.
Crotch hit videos.
The which one, I'm sorry? The what?
The hitting in the crotch video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, that was staged, I promise, but I can't exactly say that has never happened before. And just so if some of your listeners are kind of new, I'm 3'7", and my husband is 6'1". So if he's standing near me through, you know, during a very animated conversation, he needs to be careful.
That's funny. Now, didn't you meet him on Facebook?
No, Facebook actually wasn't around when we met, but we did meet online. We met in a chat room called Freetown. Back then, I was going to college, and so was he, and I was doing a paper, a psychology paper, on the difference between socializing with people face-to-face and socializing with people online. So I had to find a chat room, and I had to sort of mingle and figure out the differences in our social cues versus in person and online. And he was my test subject. So you're not supposed to fall in love with your test subject, but... But I eventually I got an A on the paper, yay, and we just got to talking, and after a year of talking online, we met face-to-face, and the rest is history.
Well, tell us about that, because I know you've told it to me, and plus I just wanted to mention I did know that it wasn't on Facebook. It was mainly for the listeners. But
right.
Tell us about that meeting in person, because this is kind of funny, I think. Sweet.
Well,
Sweden.
Yeah. Well, we had been talking online for about a year, and his birthday was coming up, and I had saved a little bit of money to go fly to Canada to visit. And we were quite nervous because back then we didn't have, you know, talking video chat and stuff like that. So we really hadn't seen each other aside from pictures and little video clips, VHS tapes that we had sent each other saying hi and introducing each other to our friends and family. So the night before, we were quite nervous that things might change. And I had never been to Canada or flown on a plane in a blizzard or a snowstorm. And it was Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And yeah, so beforehand, we had talked on the phone and we had said in our little 19-year-old, 20-year-old minds, okay, if one of us doesn't like each other, instead of just telling each other, we'll just excuse each other to the bathroom. And then that's our signal. That's how we know. So we had agreed upon that. when I was flying from Toronto to the small airport in Canada, because there was a blizzard, they would not let any of us go to the bathroom on the plane. And I was getting really nervous. Because I'm thinking, I really have to go to the bathroom, and I have to go before I get off this plane, because I can't do that to the guy if I like him, you know. So, there was no opportunity, and even getting off the plane, they wouldn't allow you to go. It was a very small plane. It landed on the runway. We had to go down the steps onto the runway and walk into the airport. So when I was walking to the airport, there was snow in my shoes. I had never seen snow. I'm a Texan, so I thought snow was like, you know, a CGI trick. It's the only time I've ever seen it. So I'm like, there's snow in my shoe. Does that go away? I don't know. So in my hair, and I'm all self-conscious, and I see him. He's wearing this big, bright yellow coat, and I walk into the airport, and he gets down on one knee, and he opens his arm and he says, "Hey, Summer," and he gives me this really big hug. And we hug for a minute. I'm like, "Oh, he's so cute. I really like him so much. How am I going to tell him I need to go to the bathroom?" he quits hugging me, and I look at him and I say, "Okay, please, please, please don't take this the wrong way. But they wouldn't let us go to the bathroom on the plane, and I really, really, really have to go to the bathroom." And the look on his face was just, oh, I never want to see that look again, ever. So I said, "I'm so sorry." So I ran to the bathroom. I got the snow out of my shoe and out of my hair, and I went to the restroom, and I came back, and he's sitting on the bench, and he has his little cap down pulled over his eyes, and I'm like, "Oh, no. I'm so sorry." So aww. I came back, and I know it was so sad. So I came back, and I just loved on him a little bit, and I said, "I'm so sorry. I really need to go to the bathroom. It's not what you think it is. I really like you." So he finally perked up, and he took me to meet his parents and grab a bite to eat.
Aw, that is so sweet.
Yeah. And a lot of people ask me, because he's 6'1" and I'm 3'7", well, did you tell him that you were small, you know, before you met him? My answer to that is always, oh, no, I just got off the plane. And when I looked at it, you know, when he saw me, I went, I don't know what happened last night. I was 6'7" last night. And then when I went to sleep and woke up this morning, this is how it was. I don't know. But yes, of course, I have told him that since day one. So he knew.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I like about you, your humor. You have such a good sense of humor.
Now, well, you have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, most people do. You know,
yeah, that's true.
For different things. Now, for I know that you were on Maury, so tell us about being on Maury. I mean, I know what it was, but I'm going to have you tell the listeners what that was all about and how it came about.
Okay. Well, even back then, I had a, you know, what limited social media there was, I was always active and looking around for things like that. I sing. I'm kind of an entertainer at heart, so I was always looking for little opportunities there, you know, to if anybody was wanting a singer for a restaurant or something like that back then, or churches. I was quite active in that back in the day. I would love to still be, but physically I'm not as able to. But anyway, I happened to get an email that said, "Hi, we're with the Maury Povich Show. We saw your posting. We happened to see a picture of you and your husband. Would you like to have us fly you out to New York and be on our Opposites Attract show?" And I was a little leery back then because it's not something that I would have normally said yes to. Because sometimes you just don't know if they're going to exploit your position, or if they're going to make fun of it, or if it's going to be done in a very tactful way. And back then, Maury was kind of iffy back then. I mean, he did a lot of good shows, but he wasn't like he is now with Who's Your Baby Daddy, you know, every week or whatever. so he kind of walked the line. But, you know, I got to talking to some of my friends and family, and they said, "Well, since it's something that you would never do or not usually think about doing, why don't you just do it?" So we agreed, and we went to New York, and we were on the Maury Povich Show, and I can't even tell you how surprising it is. I kid you not, that's been like 20, it was in 2002, I believe. It's been years ago, and we walked into a gas station last year, and somebody was like, "You guys were on the Maury Povich Show," and wow. It was so strange. How did you know that? But people remember, it was a great show. We got to meet a lot of different couples who were also opposites on the show, and I got to see the Statue of Liberty, or we did, and we got to see New York, and it was just a very fun, quick trip, and it was kind of neat.
Aw. Well, I'm glad that it was a good experience for you. That sounds like it was really nice.
Yeah, it was.
Aww. Now, I know that you have a lot of medical problems that has to do with your particular form of dwarfism. Now, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. I only bring this up for the listeners that are most likely your fans, because you have lots of fans, and they may be curious or whatever, or they might be afraid to ask you.
Right.
Although you do post about it once in a while on Facebook. So if you want to talk about that for a little bit, as far as your medical problems, go ahead. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
No, I don't mind at all. In fact, that's as you mentioned earlier, that's one of where a lot of my positivity and humor comes into play because it if you know sometimes if we didn't laugh, we'd cry. You'd have to go through so much sometimes. And I was born with a type of dwarfism called metaphyseal chondrodysplasia, and it is. As far as I know, at the moment, when I was diagnosed, there were only three in the world that had that particular type of dwarfism. And now I believe there's a little bit less than 20 that have been diagnosed with it. And what makes mine a little bit more unique is that I am, for the most part, quite proportionate, but my bones are not. My bones, I don't, like, for example, I didn't have ball and sockets in my hips when I was born, just hinge joints. So I had to get those replaced. I had to learn how to walk again, all of that fun stuff. So the other kind of bad part about it is that not all people who have metaphyseal chondrodysplasia are the same. There are varying degrees of severity. And I have one of the worst, which means my bones degenerate quite quickly. I've recently gone through a lot of surgeries in my jaw and my mouth because it started to affect my teeth. So it usually attacks the joints that you use the most, that are the most active. Of course, I have a big mouth, so you know it's going to affect my mouth. I'm teasing, but no, but it affects different joints. Like my mom has the same type of dwarfism, but it's affected her shoulders and her elbows. I've been quite lucky in that it has not. For me, it's primarily my spine and my hips that it's affected. So I've had a few flare-ups within the last year. Some new things that have sort of added on to the plate. So I kind of thought I was nearing the end of my surgical journeys, but it turns out I have a few more left to go until I'm kind of in the clear for a little while. But yeah, that's pretty much about it. So yeah, you will see me document some of my journey with people on that, and I enjoy doing the updates when I feel able to do so. And it helps me tremendously to have words of encouragement or to know that I have maybe made somebody smile through all of the stuff that might not be as pleasant, you know.
Yeah, because whenever I see those, I think, oh, she is just so, for anybody else that might, maybe not the same thing, but going through something similar, and they can look at what you're posting and think, oh, well, you know, I should try to be more positive or at least try to look at the bright side, because no matter what it is, except for when you die, there's always a bright side.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
Now, here's another thing that, of course, I know about you, and I'm sure most of your fans know about you. You are very artistic. You do sculptures and jewelry and all kinds of things that you do, and quite often post videos about it. So, when did that all start as a child? Oh, and the other question is, if people wanted to buy some of your works, would they be able to do that, and then where? So now you can answer.
Well, I mean, I've been creative since I was quite young. I, as someone who wasn't, of course, very sports orientated or physical activity orientated, I kind of gravitated to the creative side of things. However, sculpting and things like that, I really didn't get into until after my first couple of, well, actually, my fourth set of hip replacements, third set, I apologize. But I started doing it because I realized I enjoyed it. It was kind of a stress relief for me. And I just sort of started learning as I went. and I really, really do enjoy it. My great aunt had taught me to crochet whenever I was 11 years old, because I was stuck in a body cast from the waist down, and I couldn't sit up, you know. So my grandfather had made me an easel, and he had put piping at the end of my, at where my feet were on my cast, so that the easel would slip into the piping. So I would be able to draw, and my aunt taught me to crochet. So that kept me sane through all of that. And so as I got older, I just started looking at different artistic means and getting more interested in different genres of art. And I've really come to enjoy sculpting and working with resin. And of course, I still do crochet. So as far as purchasing something, if you message me personally or you ask me on my page, I will certainly try to do something for you. I don't right now have, I do plan to, but I don't right now have a shop set up or anything like that, because I have not been at a place where I can commit to making things continuously. And so I really hate making commitments and not being able to follow through with that. So, right. But little right. things I can make. And if you do request it, I will certainly do something for you if I'm able to. But hopefully one day I will be able to set up the little shop or something and craft. I've started collecting a lot of crafting stuff, and I tell my husband all the time, I just want enough crafting stuff to fit in this box. And he says, quit calling our house a box. I said, well, you know, just trying to get the most out of it, you know, but I have a lot of crafting things gathered, but hopefully I'll be able to follow through with that soon.
Well, yeah, with all your procedures and everything that you're going through all the time, it would be kind of hard to set any kind of a commitment. So
exactly.
I think most people understand that, you know, when they know you.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but you do beautiful work. I mean, whenever
you
post a picture, oh, you're quite welcome. And I'm not just saying that because you're on my show. I look at that stuff, and quite often I've thought to myself, wow, I wonder if she ever sells this stuff. So that's actually one of the reasons why I asked. And plus, I had seen that other people had asked you, if you would sell the stuff, and then you said basically what you said just now. So that's one of the reasons why I asked.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Now, anybody that knows you knows that you're a fan of Stargate. So did the love of Stargate start with the 1994 movie?
I do remember the movie, but I remember the show before I remember the movie for some reason. I remember when I was in high school and in college, when the show was starting out, we didn't have cable back then, but I mean, it existed. I just didn't have it out in the country. But my dad and I would watch some of the shows together. And my dad also really had a big love for Star Trek as well, and my uncle as well. So I remember that being something that we would do when they would come home from work. We would have ice cream with my grandmother and watch Star Trek. And when Stargate came out, I was able to catch some reruns here and there on the weekends that were quite sporadic. And so I remember watching the first few episodes with my dad. And when I met my husband, we caught more episodes. So I just fell in love with the whole concept of the show. I just thought it was an endless way to tell endless amount of stories. And it really just kind of took me out of the real world and put me in that world for a little while. And in that world, I could go anywhere. And they had the right sense of humor, family, heart, an adventure that I just really, really love in a show. And so whenever I was finally able to buy the show or watch the show concurrently, I did so. And I've been in love with it ever since. I really also love the fact that they try to stay real to the science. It's not made up jibber jabber. You know, they really try to incorporate real theories and real scientific methods into the show. And I think it's very smart. And I don't know, I just gravitated towards it.
Well, I've always liked that show too. I mean, when it first came out, I was like, oh, wow, this is almost as good as the movie. And then after a while, it's not really that it was better than the movie. It was different because you could watch it every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, so I liked it, too. It's very exciting. And they have good writers, good special effects. Yeah. So do you go to conventions and everything?
I didn't before last year. As much as a geek as my husband and I both are, we have not attended conventions, mostly due to my medical situation and just not feeling up to travel, you know. But last year, when I was so lucky enough to submit a piece of film for MGM, they happened to choose me as one of 10 Stargate superfans in the entire world. I was ecstatic. And we were their guests in California last January. January of 2019, and or February. It was WonderCon in California, which is one of the largest conventions ever. So it was my first convention and the largest convention I've ever attended. And then I was so very lucky to be able to attend a Stargate-only convention in Chicago last year as well. And at that point, I got to meet a lot of the cast members and a lot of the behind-the-scenes people and actually interact with them on a more personal level. And I was in heaven. It was just amazing. And it was so great. I was able to share that with my husband as well. He came with me and was able to experience that, as well as my best friend. They came with me both to Chicago. And it was just an amazing experience for all of us. And due to COVID, there's been kind of a lull in the Stargate super fan program that they have established, but I've been very, very lucky to be able to work here and there with a lot of the best behind the scenes people and a lot of the actors and actresses and all of that fun stuff.
Aww. Well, I'm glad that you got to do that before the COVID hit, because that was something that you really needed to happen. You needed that. You needed something like that to happen.
You're absolutely right. I appreciate that. It was my husband and I, we were taking care of my grandmother, which I thoroughly enjoyed with all of my heart. It was such a blessing. My 93-year-old grandmother just passed away, as you know, in October of last year. And we were caring for her during her last years of life. And so that, along with everything else, it was really hard to get any kind of break or any kind of vacation. And plus, my medical stuff has been going on for years. And when we went to Chicago, that was probably the first time we've been on vacation in a good 8 years. It's been a while. So it was really exciting all the way around.
Oh, well, I'm glad for you that you got to experience that.
Well, thank you.
Now I saw some of the pictures, obviously, that you posted. Now, there's one with the Stargate. Now, did you, just for fun, did you walk through the Stargate?
Yes.
Like you were...
Yes, of course I did. Yes. Yes, we all did. I have tons of pictures and some that I haven't even posted yet because of some of the non-disclosure agreements that we have and some of the things that I'm not necessarily allowed to post just yet, but I will be at some point. But, oh my gosh, yes, of course, that's the first thing I did. It was so exciting. I we were geeking out like a lot. It was so sad, but it was so exciting at the same time.
Well, yeah, when you love something like that, of course you're going to geek out. Like the people that go to the Star Trek conventions, and they geek out because they see, well, maybe not after they've been to 20 or 30 conventions, but their first one, they're like, whoa, they're seeing all these people that they really love, and they've been watching them for years, and then they get to talk to them, and like, wow.
Yes, exactly. And I had, you know, they were such a part of our entertainment lives and a part of my daily life that it was surreal, and it was almost like meeting family, almost like meeting a really good friend. You know, everyone I met just happened to be absolutely exceptionally wonderful, and I cannot say enough about the actors, the directors, and producers. Everybody associated with the show has been absolutely phenomenal to meet and interact with.
Aw, that is so sweet. And because you hear so many horror stories from about how people get treated. And so I always like to hear the good ones.
Right,
of course,
right.
You know, the people that aren't nice, you know, I kind of want to hear about that too, because, you know, they have to realize that, I mean, no, you don't owe your entire life to your fans. Of course not. And the fans don't own you. Of course not. However, you wouldn't have the notoriety that you have without your fans. So the least you can do is, you know, talk to them for maybe a minute or so. And the reason why I brought this up is because I had another person on the show, excuse me, and they were talking about somebody from the Star Trek universe. I won't say his name, but anyway, he's from the Star Trek universe, and they really, really liked him. And so they had bought something that he was selling, and they were having him sign it. And $40, and so he gives him his $40, and he says, who do you want me to make it out to? And he tells him, and then he just signs it and hands it back to him. And the guy said, it was like, you know, I just handed him my $40, and then he hands me his autograph and tells me to blow up.
I think it's kind of disheartening when you meet somebody that you feel that you're a little bit close to, or you've brought into your home, you know, many, many times, and to have that kind of response, it can be quite jarring, I would assume, because I know if I would have had that kind of reaction to any of the people that I've met, it would almost be heartbreaking, you know, because you care about these people a lot, even on a level that is not entertainment, because they, a lot of times when you're watching shows like this, it's such a therapeutic thing. And to have that shattered for you, or that image kind of shattered for you, like I can deal with having the image shattered that you're not the character that you play on TV. That's fine. But to have the image shattered that you're not such a nice person, you know, that's a little bit more hurtful.
And like he had said, even if he would have just talked to him for like a minute, he would have been satisfied. But to just basically be blown off. So then, of course, I told him my story, although it wasn't really my story. It was partially my story because I was there. But I don't know if you've ever heard of The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
It sounds quite familiar, but I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a really, really old show. I mean, it's like before my time, but I have seen some because they play it, you know, on TV all the time. But the main actor that played that character, his name's Dwayne Hickman, and I always make sure that I mention his name because I don't care if he likes it or not, because he can't do anything about it because all I'm doing is telling the truth. Okay, mm-hmm. He's an artist. And he's a great artist. I mean, he is. He does really, really great work. However, he was at this doing a showing at a local place here in Ohio. And it's a really hoity-toity place where they make the little finger sandwiches and you get the little drinks and you're supposed to dress really nice and everything. And this friend of mine was terminally ill, and they really weren't feeling that well that day. However, they were such a huge Dwayne Hickman fan that they wanted to go, and they wanted to buy one of his paintings and to get him to sign it and to talk to him for just a minute or two. And so he was all excited. We went there, we looked around, and we picked out a painting, and he had the money to pay for it, so you know, it was like a $250, $300 painting that he picked out. And so he took it up there, and we waited in line. It was not a huge line. It was something like maybe 20 people ahead of us. And he was the very last one, and he, oh, I mean, it's still pisses me off, and it wasn't even me that he did it to. We were the last ones. There was nobody else behind us. And when he got to us, instead of just signing the thing and even just saying, oh, thank you so much for stopping by, I have to get back to work, and thank you for coming in, thank you for buying my painting, you know, like I said, giving him a minute. No, this is what he did. He didn't even look at us at all. And he said, I got to get back to work, and turned around and started painting like we weren't even there.
Oh, my gosh.
And he, like I said, he was terminal. So that even, you know, crushed him even more. So now both of our jaws had dropped to the floor. And now what I did, because this is the type of person I am, I don't let people get away with that crap. I took that painting. And I, without damaging it, because I didn't want to damage it because I'd have to pay for it if I damaged it, but I made enough of a ruckus that he kind of turned a little bit to look, and I said, I think you know where you can shove this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then later, like, I don't know, it was like 6 months later after the person, you know, had passed, I had seen something that they were posting online about all the different things that he was selling and everything. Oh, you know what? I have a call. I hope they weren't waiting long. I just now saw it. Sorry. Hello, caller. Are you there? Caller? Caller, are you there? Hello? Can you hear them? Because I can't.
No, I cannot.
Okay, hello, are you there? Okay, well, if you can hear me, try to call back, okay? I'm going to hang you up and try to call back, or I can call you. I'd have to write your number down, though. So let me write the number down, and then I'll call you. And then you don't have to try to call back. Okay, I don't know what's going on there, so let me hang that up, and I don't know if that's your dad or not. It could be.
There's no telling.
Yeah, and I don't want to say the number.
Right, yeah.
Oh, and I didn't write down the area code.
Oh, no.
if it's your dad's number, what's his area code?
Let me look. see, his cell phone number would be, I just press a button on my phone. That's how lazy we are now, right? I believe it's 865.
Tommy. And now let me say
I'll tell you the last digit of the number. The last digit of the entire number is 7. So if that would.
Okay, yeah, so that's not it. Oh, they're trying to call back. Hold on.
Okay, all right.
Caller, are you there?
Hi.
Can you hear me this time, caller?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you this time. I don't know what happened. Thank you for calling back. Okay, so you're on Max Musings because every once in a while I get a call and they don't know where they're calling.
Yeah.
So
I
if you wanted to talk
calling.
To my guest.
Yes.
Pardon me?
Hello, Summer. Hello.
Hello.
There you go.
Darlene from California.
Hi, Darlene. Hi, Darlene. How are you doing?
Okay.
It's very nice to hear from you.
Yeah. I don't know much about Stargate. I haven't had time. You know, I know about a little bit about Star Trek, but maybe now with, you know, as things calm down a bit, you know, around here, that.
Well, that would be great.
Look back. Yeah. So how are things in Round Rock?
They're doing good, but this is actually a radio show right now that you're...
So I don't want to go into details about other stuff. Yeah, but what's the difference, because I put a comment in. What's the difference, I wanted to know, between Star Trek and Stargate?
Star Trek is where they travel on a spaceship to different planets, and I mean it's an entirely different set of actors, of course, and all of that. And Stargate is where they travel through a ring, which is a gate, to different planets that happen to have a Stargate on that particular planet. Yeah, so they just explore different, and there's a whole premise about, you know, there's a particular bad guys of the solar system and the galaxy and things like that. And so as they're going from planet to planet, they're learning about new technologies and new societies and civilizations, and they're also trying to protect the innocent from this big bad, you know, kind of, they're called Goa'uld, or there's those, or there's an enemy also called the Replicators, which is robotics, kind of machine orientated. But it's really cool because Stargate kind of implements everything into Egyptian mythology. So if you know anything about Egyptian mythology, a lot of the bad guys sort of take on the roles of like the different gods and goddesses of our Egyptian mythology, but they kind of exploit it. So they pretend to be who they're not in order to enslave different civilizations or the humans and things like that. So yeah, it's very, very interesting. And they do incorporate a lot of real Egyptian history into the show. So it makes it even more so interesting that you can learn about that.
Yeah. So it's a little bit similar, but a little bit different.
Because
they have the same planets, right?
They're different planets. They're just made up planets as far as I know.
Whereas Star Trek was more real.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look into it. Things are still Are there now? Is it I guess because of Panda, there's not so much. But is it more recent than Star Trek? Because Star Trek ended, right? Or did it end too?
Well, there's been a lot of new spinoffs of Star Trek and stuff like that recently. The last Stargate show ended in, please correct me if I'm wrong, but somewhere around 2008 and 2009. So it's due for a comeback, and we're working on that. And in fact, I'm working right now on a very wonderful new live YouTube series called Dial the Gate. And it's with host David.
I wrote it down.
Okay, great. Yeah, David Reed is the host of that, and he is interviewing all of the stars and producers and writers of the Stargate franchise. And there's been a lot of cry out from the fan base wanting to bring it back. But, you know, fan bases are very particular. They want it back, but they want it done right. You know, so it's, I think they're...
Heads up when that comes out, right?
I hope so, yes. Oh, you'll hear me talk about it because I'll be the first one in line.
If it ain't posted, you know, I won't.
Yes, I will definitely do that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good talking to you.
Okay, you too. You have a nice night.
You too.
Thanks for calling in. And
bye.
Yeah. Sorry that your call didn't get picked up the first time. Thank you very much for calling.
Right there. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Interesting. She said she was right there and neither one of us could hear her. So, that happens. You know, the call doesn't connect. So, so I'll just go on to the next thing because, you know, what I was talking about is like, I basically was done because that just like really, really made him so sad because that guy talked to him like that. But one thing I did want to say, so he was posting about that particular showing that he did, and I had seen that post, and so I thought, oh, well, I'm going to make a comment on this. And so I wrote all about that, and I said, yeah, you know what I remember about that showing? I remember how you dissed my dying friend. And then I went on to tell him, and then instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, or whatever, it wasn't intentional, oh, nothing like that happened, we're the nicest people in the world. Anytime somebody tells you, oh, I'm the nicest person in the world, you're not the nicest person in the world. Because you wouldn't be saying that.
right. I understand completely. Yeah, for sure.
So he got really mad at me, and so did his wife. And I didn't care because I just kept posting on there. And they kept trying to, like, make me feel bad for posting. I'm like, no, I don't feel bad at all. You people are the ones that should feel bad. And I don't expect you to do a whole bunch for your fans, but the very least you could have did was sign the $300 painting that he picked out and said, thank you for buying my painting. I've got to get back to work. Have a nice day. But no, you didn't even say that.
Right. Exactly. It's just a little common courtesy goes a long way.
Yeah. Then, of course, you got the other end of the spectrum, because I have an author friend, and he does book signings, and you get the fans that are like where the name comes from. They're more fanatic than anything else, and they brought a whole bunch of books from home. They didn't buy a book and have them, you know, sign it, which is what is supposed to be done at a book signing. That's what the book signing is for, to sell the book. Mm-hmm. They brought a whole box of books of his from home and demanded that he sign them.
Oh, my goodness. It works both ways. I mean, you want them to be respectful of you, but you need to be respectful of them in return.
Well, what killed me is that person was talking about, now I knew from knowing him, he can be abrasive, but he wouldn't have just refused to sign something. And the way that he had put it on his post was that he was real mean and wouldn't sign his book. And so then the artist was saying, well, no, what he did was he had brought up a whole box of books from home and demanded that he sign them. And he said, no, he's not going to do that. And that's why he was mad. He was trying to diss him.
For sure. Uh-oh, did I lose you? I think I lost her. Uh-oh, is she saying anything? Oh no, I lost her. I think, I don't know.
There's nothing on here.
Let me call you back.
Oh, I hear you now.
Can you? Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
I can hear you the entire time.
Oh, okay. Oh, my husband says I don't think we're any longer. Oh, it came back. Okay. He was listening on his end and he to the show and couldn't hear it, but he says he hears it now. So we're good.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Because I can hear you, and I was saying, well, I can hear you, and then I said, well, maybe I'll dial you back, but then you said you could hear. So
yeah.
We've only got like 9 minutes left. That's how long we've been talking.
Goodness gracious.
Well, Darlene calling in did help, take up some of the
time. Yes.
I wanted to make sure that I got in about nanny's dolls. So.
Oh, thank you.
Tell the people about nanny's dolls and then how they can help, whatever way by, buying something or donating or whatever. So tell us all about nanny's dolls.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. My grandmother, my 93-year-old grandmother passed away last October, and we started a very small little organization called Nanny's Dolls in her memory. My grandmother grew up in an orphanage, and she and her sister both had quite a tough life growing up. And it started out because one year, I think I was probably in my early 20s, my grandmother had said to me that she had never owned a doll in her entire life. She never got a doll when she was a little girl. So I started that year, I went out and bought her a really pretty collectible doll for Christmas, and I gave it to her. And subsequently, over the years, I bought her a little doll collection, and she loved them. And her greatest wish would be to give back to the children that don't have anything. She always said if she had limitless resources that she would have a house full of children that were orphans and that had no place to go. And so for Christmas last year, it was quite a rush because my grandmother passed in October, but we were able to raise $500 last year. And we bought $500 worth of gifts for our local children's home. And I dressed up I have a little elf costume, and I dressed up like that. And I went and was able to drop them off at the orphanage. And it was so, so very rewarding. And in order to do that in her memory, it was very therapeutic for us as her family to be able to give in that way that we know she would be ecstatic about. We know that she would have loved to have done. So Nanny's Dolls is on Facebook. I believe you can just type in Nanny's Dolls on Facebook and it should bring you to the page. It's a picture of my grandmother with my best friend's children. And we're starting a little bit late this year, due to the lockdowns and COVID and some of my medical stuff. It's going to be a little bit harder this year to gather everything. But I don't think we'll be allowed to physically come in contact with the children this year, but we will still be able to give. So if anybody would like to donate, they can go and like Nanny's Dolls and follow Nanny's Dolls. And I should be starting that fundraiser sometime this week.
Okay, and then you'll also be posting it on your regular page too, right?
Yes, I sure will. And you can, you can send me a friend request at Summer Roy, but I do have a public page now. I started having a lot of people that I don't know coming into my page. And even though I do make some of my stuff public, I would like to have my personal page and then a public figure page. So if you do search for Summer Roy, there's a picture of just me, and I believe it's still Dwarfism Awareness Month since last month was. I have not changed the banner yet, but you can friend me on there, or you can friend me at my regular page, and I'll direct you to the public figure page. But I'm trying to grow that a little bit as I put more videos out there, as I do a little bit more. Hopefully, we can put a little bit more content. Oh, and I believe it's Katie Nanny Dolls. Katie, K-A-T-I-E, Katie Nanny Dolls on Facebook.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that will help the people be able to find
it. Yeah, yeah, I'd be more specific. But.
Yeah. Well, and they probably would even be able to find it with just Nanny's Dolls, because I wouldn't think that there would be too many things called Nanny's Dolls, although,
right.
You know, there could be a thousand
That's
of them.
That's true.
All
yes. Never know.
So we're down to, like, just over 3 minutes. Is there anything that you want to say that you didn't get a chance to say?
I would just like to reiterate, or just to go over, I had mentioned to Darlene about the new live YouTube show that host David Reed is doing every weekend. It's called Dial the Gate. And if you go to YouTube and search for Dial the Gate, you will find the website and you'll see a lot of previous interviews that we've already done. I'm a moderator on the channel, so during most of the live shows, you'll see me in the chat, you know, chatting with everyone and saying hello and taking your questions for any of the talent or any of the producers or writers who visit. That, I believe, we're having some taped shows for the Thanksgiving holidays, but after that, it should return to live shows for a few weekends before Christmas. So, yeah, if you guys are interested in Stargate, come check us out. You'll see a lot of really great interviews. David is absolutely amazing at interviewing, a lot like you. He is a great interviewer. So, yeah. So that's pretty much it. I think we covered a lot of topics, and I really very, very much enjoyed talking with you.
Oh, thank you. Same here. Yeah, there was just so many things to talk about, and now I feel like, oh man, I can't believe it's over. You know, somebody else is calling in. There's only like 2 minutes, but I'm going to go ahead and take the call. So hold on.
Sure.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh no.
Okay,
this is
Max Musings. You've got like a minute and a half to say whatever you need to say, because it's like the end of the show.
Okay, I just got one question for Summer. I wanted to know if you could actually walk through that Stargate, what planet would you go to next?
Well, Dad, I would go. I would go to a place, to a civilization where we could learn a lot about ourselves. Maybe a civilization that could help the human race become a more peaceful, a more advanced culture. I think that would be amazing.
That would be awesome, and maybe they won't have COVID-19 there.
No, maybe not. I would hope not. Maybe they'll have a cure.
I just wanted to tell y'all I enjoyed y'all's show. It was really good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, John.
He says hi.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go. I'll call you later. I love you.
Oh. I love you too, Dad. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
Oh,
oh
gosh.
So sweet.
He is. He was laying the country accent on a little thick tonight too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that little call did put us right at the end because we've got a few seconds left. So is there anything that you want to say in closing?
No, Cheryl, I do appreciate being on your show tonight. And anytime you need a guest spot or you need me to come back and chat about anything, I would be more than happy to. It's such a pleasure as always.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it, and I enjoyed it, too. So since we're going to get cut off any second, I will say have a good night and stay safe.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.